It's like we're the two summer camps across the lake. Like, we're the girls' summer camp and you're the boys' summer camp.
Yes.
Or I feel like in the 80s and 90s, there would always be a cartoon would just have all male characters, but then they'd do a spinoff where it was like the girl version.
Right.
Which actually, I was thinking we should call ourselves Alvin and the Chipmunks. Actually, doesn't make sense because there's only three, so one of us has to be Dave.
Someone has to be Dave.
Did we see Dave's face? Did we? Dave, we saw Dave's full face, right?
You know, no, I say that, but can I picture Dave's face? No, not at all.
Maybe that's by design, though. You imprint on him whatever you're like. You where nobody remembers his face. That's the art of it.
Maybe he's an assassin.
In the live action version, he was played by Jason Lee. From Mallrats.
My name is Earl.
My name is Earl. So does that help?
No, that makes it worse. Hi, Text Me Bakelites. It's me, Lindy.
And me, Megan.
We are doing a very special episode this week. It's a crossover episode with our friends Luke and Andrew at Too Beautiful to Live. We chit-chatted, we gabbed, we chopped it up for over 1 hour.
We texted, we were beautiful, we lived, or we didn't live because of how beautiful we were.
We were too beautiful.
Anyway.
But we were not too beautiful to chat. And it's really fun, and we talk about all kinds of... there's a lot of simpatico between these two shows, I think. You know, we took a lot of inspiration from TBTL, and I think we created some magic here today.
Two beautiful independent podcasts, independently podcasting. We hope you enjoy this episode, and once you're done listening to it, why don't you head over to tbtl.net and learn everything there is to know about Two Beautiful... That's the name of the show. Too Beautiful to Live, and subscribe, and support them, and then subscribe and support us as well. Just run around the internet, subscribing and supporting independent podcasts. But start with us, Text Me Back, then go to Too Beautiful to Live, tbtl.net, and enjoy the episode. Please. Thanks.
We love you.
A lot.
So on our show, we always do a segment. Nope, that's not true. On our show, we sometimes do a segment called Tidings, which is basically, what's up? What's going on?
Nice.
How you doing?
What's good?
It's like saying hi to your best friend, but you made it formal.
Yeah. And you wrote a song to go with it. And then the song changed over the course of many episodes of your podcast. And then at one point, a listener sent in a new song.
Yep.
By Handel called Glad Tidings that you now sing. Before you catch up with your friend. Lindy, would you like to sing?
What's the copyright on that Handel music? Is that expired yet? Is that in the public domain?
So, okay. Lindy, if you want to sing a version, we're good.
It goes a little something like this. Glad tidings, glad tidings, glad tidings, glad tidings, glad tidings, glad tidings, glad tidings. So mostly tidings is actually, it's developed into a musical segment. But sometimes we also talk about our lives. So Megan and I have brought a couple of tidings to teach you two about tidings.
Yeah.
And then if you have tidings, you can tell us your tidings.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I'm just going to do my tiding first.
Yeah.
It's very small. And it's just something that I've been grumping about today, which is that I was served a video on Instagram, a terrible, terrible clip from Howard Stern of the band Imagine Dragons showing off their tight harmonies. And it's... So they really build it up. Like, they have the first guy and he's like, yo, well, I actually take the high harmony on this part. And then it goes to the next guy. And then he's like, yeah. And then I go. And then it goes to the third guy. And he's like, yeah. And then I go down low. And then Howard's like, okay, put it all together. Let's hear it. And then it's just a cacophony of hell. It's so bad. And so I was thinking about the band Imagine Dragons, and then I was just getting angrier and angrier because I can't think of the name of a band more precisely designed to tantalize and then disappoint me.
Mm-hmm. You specifically,
me
Lindy
specifically.
West. Yeah.
I like to imagine dragons.
But not like that.
But not like that. No. It's such a letdown for me specifically. It feels aggressive toward me specifically. And I just feel like they've taken something from me, you know?
Yeah.
I just saw a headline about Imagine Dragons 2, and it was, they're doing everything possible for LGBTQ rights. And I was like, everything?
Possible?
Everything? Say more. But I didn't click on the headline.
Who wrote that
writing
headline?
Legislation.
I was like, what do you mean by everything? Like, what imagine, are you getting up to?
Imagine setting yourself on fire for LGBT.
The Imagine Dragons newsletter is ready to break the news that Imagine Dragons is doing literally everything they can
everything.
For LGBTQ+. Aren't they, like, don't they have origins in being mm-hmm. Mormons, I believe,
yeah.
the members? They were part of a heady time, I feel, in the, like, between 2010 and now, where you just had the Killers and the Imagine Dragons mm-hmm. and the Neon Indian, and you had this whole, like, you know, second wave Mormon folks yeah. where the, like, the wives are on Instagram with the wide brim hats and the mm-hmm. polished concrete floors and the music that didn't scream Mormonism right at first, but it was very popular, but somehow still kind of gets back to Brigham Young in a way.
Yeah, that's
now
how
I feel
they get
like-
you.
That's how they get you. Do the Mormons have like a dragon thing? Are they taking that from me too? They probably
would not
do.
Rule that out.
I bet they do, if you think about it. I mean, they think lots of very fascinating things. So I can't, I mean, why wouldn't dragons be a part of their lore?
We have magical plates that were inscribed, mm-hmm. which feels mm-hmm. very like a thing that Frodo would also be on
yes.
a mission to find.
Totally.
We have an angel named Moroni. Weren't there magic mm-hmm. glasses that went with the magic
yep.
plates?
Mm-hmm. I love yeah. that the angel's name Moroni, it's spelled like moron with an I at the end. And I was like, that's your man's? The top of all your temples is moron? Okay.
I asked my 22-year-old daughter who's here visiting us right now. I was like, who's Imagine Dragons for? And she... And she was like, you want me to explain it like in a high school cafeteria way? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, because to my credit, she said, I don't think you would have been an Imagine Dragons kid. She was like, Imagine Dragons kid, it's like, they're not like the weirdest kids, but they're like one tier up, you know, like high functioning theater kids who play the saxophone. And then I was like, losers. And then in my head, I was like, that is me.
I mean, I don't play the saxophone, but. Yeah.
It's worse. I played the bass clarinet, Megan,
oh, wow.
which is a saxophone-shaped clarinet for someone who's not cool enough to commit to
Whoa.
The saxophone.
Nice. Nice.
It's like a novelty fringe clarinet that has almost no use.
Wow.
It
yeah,
does
I think
serve
I
an
knew
important...
That.
The Imagine Dragons serve a very important sort of role in the culture, though, which... is to tell me about a car that I have no intention of buying.
Exactly.
You know, and exactly. Andrew does a whole podcast with his partner Genevieve called After These Messages, and they've delved into the music of commercials a lot. And I would you say, Andrew, that Imagine Dragons is up there in the top like five of just absolute shite bands that are licensed the most mm-hmm. for commercials?
Licensed the most or sound alike, you
yeah.
know, that kind of vibe. I also, tell me if I'm right about this, Luke, is this also the quintessential bumping out
yes,
of a
NFL
game into
yes.
well,
the commercial
if they've
break.
Run out of Pearl Jam.
I was going to say,
right.
if the game is being
sure.
played in Seattle, it's just Spoon Man for
right?
every commercial break.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, you mean artists?
Yes.
I used to live in Port Townsend, Washington, and I would see Spoon Man riding his bike around town, and I would feel legitimately thrilled. And I want to
yeah.
be clear, this was in like 2018.
Thank you for clarifying. I was going to say, I met him when I was 12. And
no, this
was
shockingly recent, and I was geeking out.
I met him at the Pike Place Market, and I was like, hello, Spoon Man. And I got his autograph and everything. And he was like really happy to meet me. He played his spoons. So I was like, this is the best day of my life. I'm
you
so
should get
happy.
That autograph tattooed on you.
I don't think I have it anymore. Isn't that terrible? Mm. I'm sorry. But by the way, that kind of leads me into my tiding, which is also musical. It's really dumb. I just want to preface. Well, so since this episode is like a super episode mm-hmm. and we've sort of formed a super group, I was thinking of what we should call our super group. And I was like, what are some famous super groups? And I was like, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. That doesn't really work. None of our names really sound like that, you know?
It's very specific.
Hatcher, Mays, yeah. West, Walsh and Verbs.
Yeah, does that. Doesn't really roll off the tongue, you know? And then it came to me. Text me back, too beautiful to live, TMBTL of the dog.
And the listeners are the ones going hungry.
Spoon Man really was a great lead into that. Yeah.
So Tintle of the Dog, that's what we're doing here today.
Oh, that's so good.
And
what I like about
that.
It is it doesn't take any explanation at all. No. Everybody will just get it right away. It's perfect.
That's correct.
No notes.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Have you all, Megan and Lindy, struggled with that in your, I would say, relatively early in your podcast's existence of trying to explain what it is? Or do you have a kind of a neat, succinct way to just, because we're 15 years in and we still don't know how to talk about what it is we're trying to do 5 days a week.
I don't know. Well, it's like, at first our tagline was like a show about best friends, animals, and the worst people, but that's not really true. So now we just change the tagline every week to something else. It just kind of depends. But we've also given up on explaining what we're doing to anyone. Just hoping for the best.
To be candid with you, this was actually a large point of contention with KUOW because we would just be free associating, and then they would be like, stop. You have to tell people what you're talking about. And we'd be like, why? No. Yeah. So now we're untethered, and it's just like, to me, as a consumer of media, I like the scavenger hunt. I like trying to figure out what that reference means.
Yeah.
And so I like to plant little Easter eggs for people, and I don't want to explain it.
Yeah. So now we're having mental breakdowns. We're naming supergroups. We're writing songs, you know? I don't know. It's a gas.
We one time, I wouldn't say I got in trouble, but I got corrected when we worked for a network not all that long ago because I used the wrong color blue on the website. I don't even know if you know that, Luke, but we had like official colors.
I was siloed from
like
that information.
For your own health. Luke,
Luke never learned how to, we were with that company for 8 years. He never learned how to check his work email. This day. He's like,
the writing was on the wall. I mean, I couldn't read it. I didn't have access to that portal, but it was on the wall.
And I think you were proven right. 8 years and you're doing fine. You never really needed
it. And I don't know. This is, I'm sure, violates all the rules of broadcasting, but I just want to, it becoming even more sort of inward looking for both of our shows. But if I can, first of all, congratulations on striking out on your own. You guys sound great so far. I was very, I really liked the way that you addressed it on that particular episode. Like I thought you guys are doing such a great job, and I'm so excited for you. And we are this other weird podcast that's also kind of independent. I love that. I feel like we have that kind of in common.
Yeah.
We have made some sort of a career out of doing everything wrong from a broadcasting standpoint and whittling our number of listeners down to about 100 people who are willing to donate a significant enough amount of money that this is viable. So
That's the dream. Yeah, I don't know. We just were like, I want to talk about pubes and, you know, I don't know, just like make a reference to something we thought was funny in 1999 and not spend a lot of time explaining it. And so far, so good.
People seem to like it.
You guys feel... Have you lived up to the mandate of talking about pubes more? Because I heard you guys mention that a lot in the first episode, but I was wondering if it was one of those things where you get your freedom and then suddenly you don't want to talk about pubes anymore.
Andrew, no, please. Now I wish I had sent you the song so you could put it in the media board, but we had a listener send in a song he composed called Segment Pubes, and it goes,
Segment Pubes,
and there's like a ring. At the end, it's so, it's like the more you know, but pubes, it's so good. So I just like the show, making our show has been amazing. Like we've gotten a lot of support through our Patreon, patreon.com/textmebackpod if you want to assist. But like the community is so delightful. I'm sure this is true for your show too. People are like writing us songs, sending us pictures of their cats, and like people's kids love our show. So we're always getting messages about how their kids love the songs that Aham, Lindy's husband, makes for our show. And it's like, yeah, this is great. I could do this forever, you know.
That's how you know it's working in our experience. And we are very lucky that some of the people who still like support our program and email in stuff and contribute to the show are some of the people that were listening during the first week of the show. Which was, I mean, seriously, like 4,000 and some hundred number of episodes ago. And I mean, I find it totally shocking, but also really gratifying. Like we, in our first week of the program, we would joke that we had literally tens of listeners. And then the people who's, we would read any email that came in because we were just so excited that there was literally anyone listening. And the folks that were listening, that little hearty original group, started calling themselves the Tens of Listeners. And then that's to this day what everybody calls themselves. But it is just, yeah, that was for me the sense that TBTL was kind of working, was just people were voluntarily sending us artwork that they'd made, or, you know, again, things with their kids and stuff. And like, that's something that's so fun about what I hear when I'm listening to your show. I feel like we are kindred spirits. We are not enemies. Yeah. We are friends, these two podcasts. Can I just, do you mind? I know this is maybe more the Text Me Back segment. It's tidings, but may I activate a sound effect from the TBTL world?
I wish you would.
Very
that's
quickly.
That's where
TBTL breaking news.
Lindy, you mentioned the chipmunks, and I have some breaking news. I was recently at a FedEx office at a Walgreens in Longview, Washington, not to brag. And I was trying to return a pan from a company I just bought some pans from. And I noticed that they have a full-on magazine about labels and things that was just sitting there on the counter. And I'm going to just hold, I don't know how to do this any better, but I'm going to hold it up to my camera. It is Chipwreck. But it's not Alvin and the Chipmunks. It's not from that universe. Somebody is obviously violating the trademark of Alvin and the Chipmunks, Chipwrecked. Yes. I was shocked, and I don't know who I need to report this to, but I cannot believe that people think you can just use Chipwreck willy-nilly on your labels. And it's actually labels from Healthcare Logistics, Incorporated.
Wow.
So anyway, I'll be reporting this.
Yeah, to the FBI, I think.
Uh-huh, yes.
They're the piracy people.
Mm-hmm. Or to Dave. Anyway, we're the Chipettes. You're mm-hmm. You take your pick, two of the chipmunks, or maybe you have to be some sort of dark hybrid where one of you is half Alvin, uh-huh. half Simon, one kind of you is half Dave and half Theodore.
Can I be part horse, part chip, something like a centaur?
Yeah. You can be
the
a
top
Dave
is Simon.
No, I want the bottom to be a chipmunk and the top to be a mighty steed.
See,
unable to walk.
I feel like, here's the thing, at a real company, you can't do the riff about the chip tar because someone would say, stop.
Go back. Explain what a chipmunk is. What's a horse? Billboard the whole thing.
Don't you have an example of that, Andrew? I feel like of like the worst contextualization in public radio. Or is that, I feel like this has come up on TBTL a lot because Andrew and I both worked in public radio and we both love public radio, but we have a lot of thoughts about it. And I feel like there was some example of, well, there's certainly the tape we play from Parks and Rec where somebody's sure. explaining what the Batman is.
My team and I are trying to build a park and we need input on the design from you, the citizens of Pawnee. So I guess I'm here to send out the bat signal.
A bat signal, for listeners who might not know, refers to the children's character, the Batman, a strong gentleman who fights crime nocturnally.
That's correct. Well put.
This is a little bit far afield of what you're talking about, but I know that one of my pet peeves is every public radio promo, at least back in the day, and I think to a degree today, always talks about the intersection of something and something. Like, coming back after the break, we're going to talk about the intersection of art and commerce. But that's an easy one. Mm-hmm. But they get real creative with the intersection of this and that.
We're here to talk about the intersection of horse and chipmunk.
I would stay tuned. Have you guys ever heard a Ford promo that's so bad it actually makes you turn off the radio? That literally happened to me the other day. Yes. I don't want to call out any names, but it was something like, we come back, it's food time with so-and-so who's going to come on and talk about her favorite recipes. And just from the Ford promo, I was like, no. I ain't got time for this. No. And I have all the time in the world, by the way. I am not.
By the way, we've gotten rid of Forward promos entirely. We just didn't want to write them or do them. We were just like, coming up, I don't know, man.
Yeah. Yeah,
just see. Let's just see what happens. What are we doing next week? How dare you ask me that? How dare you?
Right.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I think that there's certainly on the TBTL side, we've just kind of decided that if you're still with us 20 minutes into whatever this is, you'll just tolerate anything.
Yeah, that's correct.
Like, what are we trying to keep you? I mean, we like to joke about sweeping the quarter hour and our TSL, which is all this like radio terminology that we learned. Andrew and I, one of the best things that ever happened to our show was actually a result of the radio show that Andrew and I worked on together, where they hired a big money consultant to teach us how to make a better commercial talk radio show. And some of the terminology that he brought out that it's still to this day like canon. One is called madmanning, which his advice was before every episode, you sit down and you write out every thought in your head like a madman. And then you go back.
Don't edit. No
editor
yet.
You go back and you circle things that might be interesting talk show topics. And then he also called your was he super serving your P1s? That was also the same guy, right?
I think he might have brought baby. Wow. We definitely knew we wanted to super serve our P1s at Cairo Radio.
Yeah, like a P1 is your most loyal listener. You want to really make sure, which I mean, ironically, is exactly the model for TBTL, and I would imagine a model for Text Me Back, which is if you like this, we're gonna make so much of it what you like. Most people maybe not are maybe are not gonna like it so much, but if this is something you like, we're gonna super serve you, you P1.
That's correct. I think that we got a lot of we got a lot of feedback that was like, you gotta explain what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows what you're talking about, which is true. That's correct. But I won't. I won't be doing that.
No, you
like,
won't.
This has worked for me for 41 years. I'm just going to keep doing this.
It's also not true because our P1s would be like, ha, 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 we love it. And then it's so cute because we have a Discord now. And in the Discord, the P1s are all helping each other out. Like, people will be like, sorry, what does this mean that they talked about? And then someone else will explain it. And then they're all talking about how they're gonna make a wiki.
So good.
Oh, nice.
All of our inside jokes. That's it's so cute.
I love it.
That's and awesome. I promise you at some point, you two are going to be using those resources to remind yourself.
Correct.
Because there are so many things that Luke and I are like, we have no idea what this listener is talking about. And all these listeners will say, well, don't you remember on episode 2143, you guys said this? I don't remember that. I drink a lot.
I'm just doing whatever. I'm just saying stuff, man.
Yeah.
I do really want someone to make the wiki. Well, because I think this has happened to us where like we've been going through our old yearbooks and old messages to each other. And it's like, what does this mean? Why did we say this? Why was this like a hyperfix for like this 3 months, final 3 months of high school, and we'd have no memory of it at all. And it's like, I wish I had written that down. So like the really nice thing about the podcast is it is kind of like a historical record of our friendship too, where it's like, oh good, I can just go back and listen to it if I forget. Like, what's Kayak Dad? I don't remember that. Although I'll never forget him.
Kayak Dad, I remember that from your first episode. Was that the person that you scared Megan with your with your flagrant littering?
I littered in the parking lot of QFC. By the way, my actual friends in real life were horrified by this tale. I had a friend come up to me and be like, dude, you litter? What the hell? Like, they were like really like disappointed in me. And I was like, I was 17, if that makes you feel better. And they're like, no. By then, you should know the difference between right and wrong.
Oh, my God.
I was like, who do you think you are, Kayak Dad? Jesus Christ. So this guy, this like very Pacific Northwest father, like the archetypal Pacific Northwest father, like fleece vest, flannel shirt. Like before that was a tech guy thing, because the Pacific Northwest fathers had the vest thing down way before like the internet even worked or existed. And he was disgusted. Like, I had like thrown a Jamba Juice thing. I just didn't want to walk all the way to the garbage. And who cares? It's U Village. Gives a shit. So anyway.
Wait, may I ask a question? Was this old U Village, like that we with like the low slung Ram sports bar and the Storables extra space I worked at in college?
Yes.
Okay, that's the real ones know.
The legit.
This new fancy world of U Village, I can't.
Yeah. There was like a clog store there for a long time, which I'm not sure if it's still
there or not. I will say it was transitional U Village. You know,
yeah, that's fair. That's
like
fair.
The it was the new QFC was already there.
Okay.
Because that's where we
would
go.
The burgers, bagels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was a Cinnabon there at the time, but it wasn't in its final form as it exists now, but it wasn't like cute, funky U Village with the hobby shop and stuff, you know?
Yeah. It was transitional. I think that's
there was
fair.
No Lamont's. Post-Lamont.
Rest in power, King. So anyway, the Kayak Dad was so mad. He like slow-mo went to pick up the garbage and like made eye contact with me as he was doing it. And he was going so slow, like, lifting it up, and he placed it on the hood of my car and was like, you know, like, what are you going to do? And I was like, what I'm going to do is take it and chuck it again at you. And he, I don't think an adult, that adult man had ever in his life had a woman of any age disrespect his authority. He was so angry. And Lindy and my friendship was still pretty new. And Lindy was just like, what's that? Who are you? And I was like, oh, fuck off. Let's get out of here. Just like screeching like Cruella DeVille style out of the QFC parking lot, just screaming. My eyes are spirals at this point. I was like, I will not be disrespected by 50-year-old men. But so that's who Kayak Dad was.
Top five scariest days of my life.
Yeah. That's right.
What's really, I guess you could just say, coincidental is all hell. And maybe this is just personality types, like how you two have been friends forever and how Andrew and I have now been friends for a long time. You got one person that's kind of like this way and one person that's kind of like that way. I tried to fight a guy in Pike Place Market who had disrespected Andrew over a taxi cab.
Oh, yeah.
And Andrew had no idea any of it happened. Am I remembering that right?
Yeah, vaguely. We were recording something.
We're at the Pink Door. I was having martinis. It was like 4 in the afternoon.
Yeah, we were definitely day drinking. I know that was definitely a big part of our early friendship. And then, was this an actual cab, Luke?
Yes.
I can't even remember if it was a cab, not a car service,
you
right?
You hailed a cab.
Yeah, because that would have sorted itself out.
And got
out.
Into the cab. This is right kind of by where the OG Starbucks is. Mm-hmm. And what I witnessed was a guy yell at you for, he thought, stealing his cab, but in a really, I thought, mean and just ungracious way. You got in the cab and left. I then called the guy out and threatened to fight him in front of his wife. And, by the way, my ex-wife who was there. Can't believe she's my ex-wife now.
Yeah.
Could have never seen
that
any
was,
of that coming from
her. That was a conversation, right?
But the craziest part is you were blissfully unaware any of this had happened.
You
almost,
were in the cab. You were heading away.
He was halfway to Wallingford.
Amazing.
Well, I remember there was a moment where me and some other guy who was with a family or
yes,
at least one other person
small
were
children.
Going for the same cab. And so I do remember a moment, and this is where Luke and I are kind of different. Like, I think I'll be the first one to say, oh, that was your cab. Like, yeah. I don't even belong in the city. Like, I'll move to avoid confrontation.
I will move out of state to avoid talking to you about
exactly.
this cab.
So I remember there was an awkward moment where I was going forward, and then it was unclear, and this guy was clearly not super happy with me, but I just ended up like hurrying up and scuttling into the back of the cab and driving away. And I don't think it was until, I don't know, was it the next Monday?
Carrie
Luke,
told
was it
you
literally
probably.
Maybe like months later that you told me that like a little yelling went down, and like again that did not go over well with your wife.
I think the reason I was so incensed was because of the martinis. No, because that was part of the gasoline on the fire. But I think it was because I know you so well, Andrew, and again Lindy and Megan. You guys know each other so well. Like, I knew in no universe would you ever try to take someone's cab. You would bend over backwards to be thoughtful in that scenario. I would take someone's cab in a heartbeat as soon as look at him.
No kidding.
But when he was mad at my friend Andrew, who I knew would never do that, I felt righteous indignation over that entire thing.
No, I'm the exact same way. I carry grudges like on Lindy's behalf.
Nice.
I'm like, I'll be like, you remember that person said XYZ? She's like, I have no, I don't even remember who that is. And I was like, I have it tattooed in my brain. I will never forget.
Arya Stark style.
Yeah, like no. We don't mess with that person. That person is bad.
Thank you.
But yeah, I'm a bad person, you know? But I feel like everyone else should follow the rules of society.
Yes.
Not me, though. I'm like, I take cabs. I take stuff. You know what I mean? Allegedly.
You litter.
Yeah, I litter. I throw stuff around, you know, but if somebody else is violating the social compact, like, are you blocking the door? I said, excuse me, you won't move. You didn't hold the door open for me. Let it shut in my face. It's like jail. Prison. And I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. And if somebody does that to my friend, if somebody does that to Lindy, homicide.
Yes.
Homicide.
I'm just a little baby.
She's just a little baby. Luke, are you an oldest sibling?
I am. I'm the oldest of seven.
That's why. You want to just kill anyone who tries to mess with your family?
I'm very
homicide.
Protective
homicide.
Of the people that I, you know, I would like to say care about, but even just random people online, if I think they're being in any way mistreated. Like, I get my kind of like And my sense of what I think of as justice in the world, and that's a very flawed conception, by the way, but my if my sense of justice is violated, I get like big mad real fast. And now, that's so interesting, Megan, that you said birth order, because I do very much think that birth order kind of impacts us as people and how we behave. I'm a little less sold on astrology. And so I'm really glad you went with birth order and not like, what a Taurus.
Yeah, like,
although I am
are
a
you
Taurus,
a Gemini?
That would have thrown me. That would have thrown me because I'd be like, I am a Taurus. Maybe they do know something.
I'm big on birth order. And just one really quick thing. I am the same way. Like, if somebody is like disrespecting a service worker, it's game over for whoever that is. Like, somebody was yelling at a Whole Foods lady and I was like, what's your problem? Do you have something you want to say? Say it to me. And he's like, well, oh, well, I know her. I've been in here before. And I was like,
what?
Well, now you're going to know me. I was like, yeah, like, you don't talk to her like that. Okay, buy your yogurt and get the fuck out of here. I was so mad. And he just was like, what's happening?
Keep it moving. If you've ever said keep it moving to someone in a public place who you thought was being disrespectful to someone else, you might be a podcaster.
An eldest sibling.
Yeah, right? Okay, I want to say that Megan and I also came up with one other sort of archetypal divide, which is, and I'm curious if this tracks with you two, which is that we decided ironclad objectively for sure that between the two of us, Megan's the Shaq and I'm the Chuck. I don't know if you guys watch
TNT.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think?
Okay.
See, I don't I don't know the characteristic dichotomy, but this is Luke.
I'll try it.
100%.
I think... let's see. So we're thinking about, well, the thing is, how do you do, maybe so, get a little more clarification of what you think is essentially Shaq versus Chuck? Because they both seem to say kind of whatever's coming into their mind.
Exactly.
But Shaq is a little bit more with it. Chuck is a little bit more bewildered. And then Shaq, like Chuck really will just say whatever. We did a deep dive into it on the show.
Like Shaq is not trying to lose that Epson printing contract that has him dominating every Office Depot you've ever... Have you been in an Office Depot lately? It is just every product is sponsored by Shaquille O'Neal, including a life-size cutout of him. The office chairs, Shaquille O'Neal approved. The Epson printing section, Shaquille O'Neal approved.
Amazing.
He's a billion. He's like in the top 20 richest people in America.
Yeah,
And that's Andrew. He's one of the top 20 richest people in America.
Okay, so for us, here's a way to sum up the dichotomy. It's like Chuck will be sort of zoning out, they'll be having a conversation about the game, and then Chuck will be like, my toe fungus is itchy, or whatever. And then meanwhile, Shaq, if the light is making him too hot, he will punch out the light. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're both sort of operating on a wild level, but like...
Yeah, like Chuck will just be sitting there, and all of a sudden, Chuck will just be laughing so hard he's crying. And everyone's like, what is wrong with you? We're talking about the basketball game. And he's like, someone just sent me a video of a snake jumping out at a man trying to ring a doorbell. And he'll laugh and he won't focus on the game at all. And then it gets so bad that they have to ask him to text the photo to the producer so the producer can show the video to the audience. And like, that's Lindy. Like, we'll be filming or we'll be recording a segment and I'll be like, okay, are you gonna jump in here? And she's like, oh yeah, one sec, I'm just... making a pyramid out of my mini M&Ms. Just one second. You know, so like that's like, and then whereas I'm punching out lights and, you know, like fighting Keith Olbermann for saying something crappy about a WNBA player or something, you know?
I saw Keith Olbermann in Central Park a few years ago walking like six dogs at once. And I just felt like it explained everything.
That's his new career.
That he's a dog walker now?
No, I believe they're all his dogs and they were very small and it was like, they were surrounding him, and as you'd be shocked to hear, he was taking up the entire path.
Yeah, see, she really did make a little pyramid out of her mini peanut butter M&Ms.
Those
yeah.
are good, by
yeah.
the way. I mean, that's good symmetry there.
Thank you.
Good pyramiding. I would say that if any of us here had bosses anymore at like a respectable podcasting network, they would say, hey, Luke, don't hold up a photo of Chipwrecked into the camera. And they'd say, hey, Lindy, maybe don't hold up the camera, the phone camera for an audio podcast. But that's just how unleashed we're like Byron Allen unleashed of the podcast space.
That's the thing. It's like I can't be stopped.
No,
I can't. I just wanted to do it. I don't know. I want to show you my pyramid.
Those peanut butter M&Ms. are so good. So good too. Are those the kind that the whole middle is peanut butter? Not a peanut M&M, but peanut butter, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. Oh, except so this is a new product that I'd never seen before, which is mini peanut butter M&Ms. And I still haven't figured out the structural makeup of it because they're so small, they can't possibly have the peanut butter core. They're too small, in fact, to even bite in half and inspect. I never figured it out. I was downing handfuls of them.
May I throw one more candy-related thing in while we're on the subject?
Please.
Of course.
I was done so dirty by the Mars Corporation or whoever makes Reese's peanut butter cups. Mm-hmm. Is that Mars? Do we know? Whoever it is. I've taken to buying these family size bags of mini Reese's peanut butter cups. Mm. They're so good. I mean, it's just the same thing you'd get in a different size, but like I like to pop those things like Tic Tacs. Mm-hmm. And I got a bag home the other night and opened it, and they're all individually wrapped.
What the
Like the
hell?
Full-on foil. You have to unfoil. It's like the size of a thimble. There's 100 of them in the bag. I have to unfoil 100 of these. And then it has the paper.
Oh, no.
The absolute degradation of my couch from this, which is beige, and now looks like somebody had explosive diarrhea on it. Because as careful as I was, there was so much chocolate still falling onto the couch.
The little ridges that are in the paper.
It's designed to spill shards of chocolate.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I don't know what the use case is for individually wrapped Reese's peanut butter cups within a family-sized bag of it.
My question is, why did they make a person... Imagine the person wrapping it in the first place. That's literally a human rights violation.
Wow.
You know?
They should really make a machine for that.
The conscience of the crossover episode. Megan Hatcher Mays, ladies and gentlemen.
Like, damn.
Well, you know what? To bring it full circle to your question about are we talking more about pubes, segment pubes we have formalized as it's a segment... Mm. The full name is People Using Bad Ethics and Systems. And it's an accountability segment.
So
I think that Mr. Reese needs to be taken to task.
So write that down for our next segment, pubes.
Yeah, I will.
Stephen Reese's? You're busted, sweetie.
Stephen Reese's Jr.
Those Oompa Loompas are arthritic at this point. It's horrific.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
All right, so this is our little TBTL Top Story segment where, not unlike Tidings, mostly Andrew and I just check in on how we're doing and completely avoid getting to whatever the top story is that I've promoted. raising the question why I even promote tops, like at the very tippy top of a typical TBTL episode, I'll say, and we're going to talk about this. And that, what would you say the success rate of getting to this and that is, the actual news-based stories is, Andrew?
37%.
That's high. That sounds
really higher than
high.
I would have expected.
That's,
I'm an optimist.
Right? Like, that sounds, I mean, we basically end up just talking about whatever's happening in our life for usually a significant portion of the show, and yet I can't bring myself to admit that's what the show is. I think it's because of like our radio backgrounds. I'm like, well, but then we have the top stories. We have the news stories.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do this very thing here on this Tim of the Dog episode.
It's pronounced Tim-tool.
Agree to disagree. Not where I was raised.
Wow. He's a regular Chris Cornell over here.
So in keeping with that tradition, instead of the top stories that I emailed you all before the show, some of which were news-based about like Red Lobster or grammar-related, what I really would like to talk about is this thing that arrived in the mail last night, which was some pots and pans from, and I don't care because they're not sponsors of the show. It's called Caraway.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was trying to, I have some really... really beat up old like pots and pans that I kind of pieced together from, you know, I bought some of them in the actual aisle of the grocery store where you can buy a pan. I've always wondered, like, who does that? It's twice divorced dudes. That's the demo.
Where's your divorcee section?
Who get their hair cut at the Great Clips in Longview.
All true.
Got him.
Absolutely true. So I've been sort of excited. I've been working on my house and kind of like trying to remodel my kitchen. And the big thing was when I have like a kind of a nicer kitchen that's redone, then I'm going to start picking up the pieces of my broken life and getting like matching, you know, stuff. Yeah. And so I finally did that, and I did a little poking around, and this company called Caraway was fairly highly recommended, and I liked that the I have dreams of someday getting like an induction stovetop, which I didn't do yet because but these can do both. I was like, okay, so I ordered some of these pots and pans, and they just arrived last night, and it wasn't until this morning that I took out this little leaflet, which looks suspiciously like a religious tract.
It does.
And that might be foreshadowing because it's basically, it says, this booklet contains everything you need to know about your new cookware set. And I've...
Have you heard the good news about
And I, you know, we're already an hour into this episode, so if I were to read each and every one of these little sort of pieces of advice, tips and tricks, I think... it would take too long, but suffice it to say, what they want me to do to care for these pans before, during, and wait for it after the use is truly stunning. The first one is pretty obvious. It's like wash them with, you know, soapy warm water to get rid of any debris from like them being in the box coming out here. That's obvious. And then it's like Caraway's five-ply stainless steel pans can hold heat more efficiently than traditional ones. I'm not like the other pans. Only use yours up to medium heat when cooking, which right away just feels like, so you're telling me that I should never take these pans north of medium because they're that good at conducting heat?
Yeah. What if you need to boil water?
Not in these pans, man.
Not in these bad boys.
Not in this economy.
They're too good for cooking.
This is what I'm starting to realize. So... point three in caring for your pans, burning up. Let's see. That's medium heat. Sorry, that's burning up. The next one is discover your winning recipe. For the first few uses, monitor your heat settings to gauge your stovetop and oven's heat efficiency and adjust recipes as needed. In other words, adjust down everything you're doing so that you don't destroy these pans because they're fragile. They can only go up to medium.
These pans seem guilty of the sin of pride.
And
idolatry.
Yes. I mean, the pans are very, if people have not seen these pans, they're very aesthetic. They're for the aesthetic chef. Yeah. And they are
versus
beautiful.
Versus the good chef. Which would describe me perfectly.
Yeah, they are stunning. And they come in like lots of different colors, like dusty pink and like navy blue. I almost bought some because I think they're really beautiful.
Yeah.
But I did some research and all of the research was like, these pans stink and you should not buy ceramic nonstick pans. And I said, okay, goodbye. And also you can't put them in the oven.
I got the stainless steel ones.
Oh, okay.
I'm hoping maybe means they're on the 3-star Yelp review as opposed to the 1-star that you're describing. We've gone up to 3 stars on these.
But so they you're are
gonna,
like the,
you're going to keep them.
I took them out of the box and put them up on there. I will tell you, this is a triumph of basically figuring out exactly what kind of sucker I am, because everything unrelated to the use of the pans is perfect.
Yeah.
They have these.
They're beautiful.
These magnetized little holders that sit on your countertop that the pans sit in. And they're held perfectly there because it's kind of a small kitchen. I don't have a lot of room for. Mm-hmm. There is a like a thing for the lids. It's like a something that an artisan who is making you some like special like brisket would be wearing. It's like a canvas thing with the lids sit in. Like the design of it is
flawless. It's like an apron for the lids.
It's an apron for the lids.
Yes, I know what you mean. Yeah.
I mean, putting this stuff out last night, here's what I did. I sat in my living room, which by the way, looks into my kitchen, which tells you the square footage of my house. I left only the microwave light on and I admired how cool the pots and pans and the lids looked. That was before I read the good news.
I'm so sorry this is happening to you, but they are beautiful.
I know. Pans. I am also such...
I think I know how this ends, Luke. This ends with your beautiful pans on display at all times with your shitty pans in the cupboard, and those are the ones that you actually use.
I seriously...
the one from QFC is the one you actually use.
It's a Safeway in Longview, Washington, but yes, same general vibe. I don't know if I need to keep gilding this lily, but... Point five, start at room temp. Let your food come up to room temperature before adding it into your warm pan. Food that's too hot or cold can cause sticking. I gotta check the food temperature before it enters the pan. That's only one of many things related to the temperature of stuff I'm supposed to put in these pans.
Okay, so to recap, the pans, they're beautiful. Yeah. You can't use them to cook, no. And the pans will also give you food poisoning because you have to unrefrigerate your food before you can cook it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, number six, ask the pan if it's in the mood to be cooking right about now.
Yeah, right?
I feel like the pan's mom has Munchausen by proxy.
Is this Gypsy?
Yeah, it's Gypsy Rose Pan.
Now that's a show title, Gypsy Rose Pan.
I'll tell you what. Oh my God.
And by the way, if the D is fire, be really careful that it's only a medium before you apply it to the pan. That was a far too deep of a Gypsy Rose Lee joke.
No, it wasn't.
That was more maybe for the Text Me Back crew than the Blanchard. TV show crew. Again, it just keeps going. Before adding oil, preheat your pan for 90 seconds on low to medium heat.
Jesus.
Avoid leaving an empty pan on the burner for a long period of time. That's pretty obvious. The water test. Add a few drops of water to your pan to know if it's hot enough to start cooking. This was when I just officially said I give up. If the droplets bounce around the surface, your pan is ready. If the water sits still, it's too cold. But if the droplets all scatter, it's too hot.
Oh, cooking is already the biggest pain in my ass. I'm not doing all that. I simply am not.
I have to figure out if the scattering of the water droplets is enough, but not too enough. To indicate that this fragile ass pan is ready to receive the room temperature food that I will be placing within it.
Ugh, I can't believe they're telling you to make your get your chicken up to room temp.
I'm not even kidding. I'm giving you only about 30% of what is in here, but I think the point has been made that I guess my question is. Is this really the thing where can I probably ignore almost all of this feedback and just use them like normal ass pans?
Yes.
Yes.
Right? That's what you Absolutely. All would do if you had mm-hmm. like yeah. me taken them out of the box and rendered them impossible to return.
I probably wouldn't even have ever read the booklet if I'm being honest with you.
And I wish I didn't. Yes. I wish I didn't. Yeah.
And you're fine.
This is where this is again a triumph of design. If they had just given me some folded up flimsy little piece of paper that was like, here's the do's and don'ts. It's straight into the trash, but because they gave me this goddamn religious tract that's designed to within an inch of its life, what did I do? I took it into the bathroom with me this morning and I read it like a devotional while on the toilet.
I'm kind of surprised that you did read it, Luke.
Well, again, only because it seemed like there was good info in here because of how designed it is.
Yeah, I tend to skip... Unless when I have a new anything, usually an electronic or something, I'm only opening up the instruction manual if I've hit a dead end mm-hmm. already, or I'm
right.
scared that
That's
I broke
correct.
It. Yeah,
or if
not,
I have to like build
I'm not
something.
Really cracking that.
Yeah.
Not to change the subject from
Please
the pants,
do.
But Lindy, what is going on?
Yeah, I'm
Something's
curious.
Something's been
I
happening
to
Lindy's
too.
Face the, over the last like 45 birds? Seconds or so,
There's
and
the...
I am dying.
The biggest spider walking around on my wall and like occasionally stumbling and falling. Well, here, this is bad radio, but
we've established
on.
That we all
we
shows have
that.
Left the bounds of good radio years ago.
Lean
I'll
in.
Mention too that Lindy is in a very beautiful attic, but a place that looks
oh my God, it's enormous.
Oh, that's big.
Yeah,
it's
that
really
is big.
Big.
We can
oh,
see
God.
It.
Oh, there it is. It's on my poster. You know, it's the kind of
what you're. What? Well, how do you deal with it usually?
I don't know.
A spider.
So this is the kind of spider that I'm not that scared of, mm-hmm. But I am still obviously.
Is that what we would have called a daddy long legs back when we were kids?
Thank you for asking. So in my region, that is not what I would call a daddy long legs is what some people would call a harvestman, mm-hmm. which is actually not a spider. It is an arachnid. It lives in the garden.
Oh.
And this is called a cellar spider. But some people call this a daddy long legs, and I think it's regional. These are just like spindly guys. There's a ton of them here in this cabin. They're not that scary, except that they tend to drop down from the ceiling right in front of your face. But they're not like, you don't get the impression that they want to bite you. They just want to sit in the corner and like eat little bugs. So I don't know. Yeah. I'm not that. This one's really large, though.
It looks very big.
I would say, like, I don't know, the diameter, the leg span of like a sausage patty.
Jesus. Mm-hmm.
Like a Jimmy Dean?
Like a Jimmy Dean sausage patty. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's... Like a McMuffin.
Like a McMuffin.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of wandering around on the wall. Hmm. And I wonder if it's close to death because it does keep like tripping and falling. Because
it's been listening to TBTL this week. It doesn't have the will to go on. Don't you feel like there is a point of a spider having really long legs where it becomes less terrifying unless its body mass is keeping up?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, then it's just a giant terrifying spider. But there are those... Is cellars, like as in like C-E-L-L-A-R, cellar yes, spider? Is that the name? Right.
Yes.
There's, those kind of, or harvest spiders, those ones were not terrifying to me. I grew up in a unfinished basement on 77th Street right off of Aurora. There were some spiders that I could see the hairs on their legs because the legs were thick enough that they had hairs, and that was unsettling.
Those like giant house spiders that we have in Seattle, those are not right.
No. I don't care for it.
No.
Tegenaria gigantea. No.
We have a kind of a finished basement here where my studio is, and we saw one of those house spiders. I didn't grow up in this area, so I'm not as used to spiders, I guess, as you guys. But like, there was one of those, I guess it was a house spider. I don't know. It was a scary spider. And I mean, I took some photos of it from as far away as possible. And then my only way of dealing with these, and it's not like, I guess, nice or sympathetic to the spiders, and so if people are listening and they care for spiders a great deal, maybe hit forward by 30 seconds.
We don't know the text me back listeners. We're trying to account for every sensitivity.
Exactly. Trigger warning here. I kill spiders because I'm scared of them, so I have one of those Bissell, like, you know, cordless vacuums, and I just put on a little attachment, and I'll just, like, suck the little guy up into there, and then I let it live. I call it a terrarium. It turns my vacuum cleaner into a terrarium where I can then watch it like live out the rest of its days or hours or whatever until I empty it out.
About your little thingy.
Yeah, I was gifted by a dear friend a contraption called the Bugzooka, which is it's analog. It's not you don't plug it in. It's
good.
It's
future proofed.
Yeah, exactly. And it just uses,
nobody can
like
hack
a,
into it.
It's not connected to the cloud at all.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. When the Cylons return, right? they're not taking over my bugs.
Hell no.
My cold dead hands.
Yeah. Your Dyson is screwed, but it's turning against you for sure. But it just uses like a plunger basically. So it creates, you push this thing down, it creates a suction, and then you put the end of it over, and then you pull the trigger on the Bugzooka and it goes and it sucks the bug in, and it's great, except that I had a terrible, it also creates a little terrarium, and oh god, the spider's going out of sight. I've done nothing.
Oh, see that? Yeah.
It's going okay, whatever.
The two worst days of being a spider owner. When you see the spider and then when you don't see the spider.
But this thing happened with the Bugzooka, because I'm still kind of a novice with the Bugzooka, because I'm actually too scared to even use the Bugzooka, because you still have to kind of like, I don't know. And then there was a baby dragonfly in my house, which first it was terrifying. Imagine. Then I figured out it was a baby dragonfly. So I was like, I'll just delicately get it in the Bugzooka. And I did. And then I put it outside and it wouldn't come out of the terrarium. So I was like, I'll just leave it out here so it can go on its way and find its mommy. And then I went out the next day and I realized that I had done the Bugzooka incorrectly, and I had just left it trapped in the terrarium in the yard where it slowly died.
Oh wow. And it saw paradise,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it was
that's
close.
All you did.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm saving you, little one. Mm-hmm. And then
be free.
I just left it.
Damn.
Is it like No Country for Old Men when you're using this thing? Are you like, call it friendo? And then just like sucking up the bug?
Yes, literally.
I just saw a TikTok that said that.
Call it friendo.
I saw a TikTok that said, and I don't know, it's TikTok, but it was a person I know, a comedy writer named Alex Falcone, who said, and is very smart about most things in my experience, that when you catch a bug, particularly a spider, and you put it outside lovingly, it will just die outside. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just not going to be, it's not going to go build a new life for itself.
Luke, this is what I'm saying. A spider you find in your house has adapted to live in your house. Yeah. It doesn't want to live outside. That's why it's in your house. Mm-hmm. So you can humanitarianly catch it and put it outside, and all these people think they're so superior. They're so moral because they put it outside. You're putting it outside to die a slow death in the cold.
Yes, I think you're right actually about that. Yeah. And I have been doing that. It's all about how, and this is going to be gross, but like, it's about how mangled did the thing get with me trying to catch it. So I will take a paper. No, because if it's really like if I had to chase it around the house, like Nathan Lane in the movie Mouse Hunt, then dive on it and smash it. And I don't put it outside because it's not going to survive. But if I was able to take a paper towel and very gently like yoink it, and then I used to take it and let it go outside thinking I'm doing it a real favor. But I think you're exactly right. It's going to die outside. Probably the most humane thing, if I've decided this is not going to be allowed to live in my house, is to just smash it quick. Clean death, and then, you know, just toss in the garbage.
Yeah, you know, here's my philosophy. If I was in a regular room in the house where the ceiling is far away from my hair, I would leave it.
Interesting.
But it's this room, the ceiling is so low that I can't have it that close to my hair. Because it might want to go in there. So, like, it's just sort of like, if it's being peaceful and it's far away from me and it's doing its job getting bugs, I can leave it, because I also have tremendous guilt about killing a creature, mm-hmm. even if it's, you know, a creature that
spooky
that spooks me.
Yeah.
Now, and because you don't have any kind of sleeping arrangement in the room that you're in right now, or do I have that wrong?
How dare you,
Andrew?
Dare you?
This is the thing. Yeah. Like, you do not want to wake up next to a spider.
No.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. There are three beds in this room. One of them is a built-in bed tucked under the eaves. And
prime spider apartment.
Yeah. That one is for the spider.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the tragic irony is that that's the greatest bed of all time. You'll get the sleep of your life.
Oh my God. It's amazing in there.
And I I didn't sleep in there for 20 years because I thought, I can't guarantee that there are no cellar spiders spindling around in there. And then I did it for the first time the other night, and I was like, oh my God, it's just like I remembered.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Mm. Oh. It's incredible.
Beautiful. It's dark, uninterrupted. It has a little porthole. So you wake up, you look out your little porthole, and there's freaking Hood Canal. It's my favorite place.
You've slept there, Megan, and you survived it. You lived to tell the tale.
I've never had a, you know, early morning run-in with a spider in the built-in, but I did last time I stayed with Lindy. I went up there to go to bed, and there was just a stink bug on the comforter, like, hello.
They're everywhere.
And I was like, what the hell? Where did you come from? Just the one. So I picked him up with a candle, and like a glass candle. I flipped it over on top of him, and then I carried him downstairs. And then I remembered that thing about, oh, you put bugs outside, they just die. So then I was like, well, so I just flushed him. Alive.
Yeah.
See, down the toilet.
Stink bugs also die outside? Because I've been throwing a lot of them out, and I talk to them. We're talking about they look like a mini beetle. They've got a little, like, right? Not a potato bug, but a stink bug. I have a lot of them happening out here where I am, and they make their way into the house, and for some reason, they're the bug that I've just, like, I don't feel like spiders speak English. I don't talk to the spiders, but I, like, talk to the stink bugs. Like, you're not supposed to be in here, dude. Like, I feel like the stink bugs have a job, like they go to work or something. So I can also pick them up without hurting them too much. I'll pick up a stink bug, carry it out the sliding glass door, and put him outside and be like, that's where you belong.
But you pick them up with your bare hands?
Well, this is actually a question and Lindy, you just might be the naturalist to answer it, but like, do they stink if you smash them? Is that how they got the name? How'd they get the name stink bug? Because I've been picking them up gingerly, dropping them outside, and I haven't noticed any malodorous event.
I don't know. I think probably if you scare the shit out of them, they spray.
That's why you talk to them.
That's why. Yeah. So if you're being nice and friendly and diplomatic with them, I think
it's working so far. They haven't done any stinking. in there, but I also haven't smashed them. And maybe that, maybe I'm actually, in trying to be nice to them, I'm saving myself some bad smells in the house.
I'm scared of the stinking, so I also don't smash them, even though we are having a kind of a plague of them the last couple of years. I wrap them loosely in toilet paper and I put them in the toilet and flush them, or I put them in the Bugzooka.
Nice. By the way, one of the best, I think, literally stole that show, The Good Place, Jason Bugzooka. I love that guy. I cannot get enough of his work.
Great range.
He's great.
Wow, that seems like a really good place to wrap this up. What a solid joke. Lindy's about to be devoured by a spider. I've been waiting 8 minutes for a Jason Manzoukas joke. Megan's got to carry her laptop over to someone else's house to figure out if this can go on the internet.
I'm like, make four squares if you can. If you can.
So I don't know how much of this will be in the final recording, but if I could just say on behalf of TBTL, text me back, folks, you are so awesome. The show is so, so good. And thank you for thanks for being part of this big crossover with us today.
Oh my God. Thank you.
Thanks for having us. And I just want to acknowledge that I have stolen so much from you guys. Megan and I are solving mysteries, and I know that you guys like to solve mysteries.
We've really slacked on that. So I'm so glad that you've picked up the torch.
Yeah, we have a little detective agency going.
Yeah.
I hope we can do this again because it was really, really fun. And you guys are such a delight.
Well.
And thanks for supporting our show and loving our show. And if anyone listening would like to listen to our show and support our show, you can do so at patreon.com/textmebackpod. And you can support it because we do not run ads and we're just two little babies with no money. So.
If you're a Text Me Back fan, which I'm going to be honest, I think there are many more then know about TBTL. So by which I mean
true.
To most of the people hearing this, we're called TBTL and we're over at TBTL.net.
We'll compare numbers after. But
I would rather. It's shocking.
Can we not?
Listen, some have tried, some have died. We have this conversation with many friends in the industry, and it's always like, no, you're just being modest. And then they go, they pick up the rock that is Libsyn, and they look under the TBTL downloads, and they go, whoa, put that back down.
The reality is this. Data cannot contain our two illustrious programs, and therefore we should not discuss analytics because it doesn't matter.
Take that, Alex Schaefer at American Public Media.
Oh, we're naming names. We got to get out of here, Luke.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.